This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Nice to have you with us on a Thursday afternoon in the nation's capital. A little overcast, a little wet out there, but not too bad. Certainly not as bad as yesterday, but not as bad as it was last night at Madison Square Garden. That's right, all the boys are fired up. Denton Day, Toby, AMAX talking crap. Oh, Rooster. Oh, did you watch the hockey game last night? Were you the only one in America? No, I watched a little bit of the hockey, but unfortunately, I was locked in. I was locked in
to the lesser entertaining of the playoffs.
Exactly. Because you know, I keep hearing everybody talk about how great these NBA playoffs are. They're okay. They're fine. They're not great. Let's just relax, okay? You know, a lot of people think a lot of bad things are great and wonderful and Shangri-La, and they're not. They are not at all.
You're going to die on this hill, aren't you?
It's okay. It's all right. It's
even
okay.
After last night.
It's not the first hill. Well, let's put it this way. Last night, okay, let's start with this. We will get into other things, including the Commanders and all that stuff. So last night, I wouldn't call last night a great basketball game. I would call it a thrilling finish. If you watch the game from start to finish, which I watched most of it, I did not watch all of it because I was bouncing back and forth between the hockey. And I don't apologize for that. It was a great third period for the Stars and so on and so forth. And it helped that the Nationals were rained out. Again, plus I had something going on in the old personal life, so I didn't get home until after the NBA game started. But the bottom line is, it was a thrilling finish. But I don't know if it was the greatest game of all time, even though people are acting like it was and talking about how awesome it was and how great it was and how unbelievable it was, the greatest game of all time. And again, I would just say, no, in order for it to be a great game, I don't just look at the last couple of moments of a game. The overtime, the last couple of minutes of regulation, and go, oh, it was an amazing game. No, it was an amazing finish. And as a matter of fact, without even knowing that and starting there, I just popped on NBA.com just to pull up the official box score. And they lead in, you know, they have like the rotating visual on their homepage. They lead with fantastic finish. relive, God, if I could speak in English, Game 1's amazing ending. And that's correct. That's appropriate. It was a thrilling finish. There is no doubt about that. Now, it took literally forever. You could have mowed your lawn and watched paint dry from the first application to get through all the timeouts, all of the delays, all of the reviews. Just stop. Give us the game. Give me some flow, for God's sakes. Instead, you got a thrilling finish, an unbelievable turn of events. Oh, wait a second. No, you didn't. Because this little show, this little show, the little show that could, the show that everybody wants to put out to pasture, the show that everybody wants to forget about and say, ah, it doesn't matter. This little show. Yeah. Choo-choo. There you go. This little show said to Paulie yesterday and at least one other time, wow, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the Knicks have a big lead and Reggie Miller comes out of the broadcast table and starts burying threes and starts nailing you to a cross? Oh, wait a second. It wasn't Reggie Miller. He didn't unretire. No, 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 no. No, it wasn't Reggie Miller. But you know what? It happened. It happened. I'm so happy. And I grew up a Knicks fan. I mean, I've long been out on the Knicks. It doesn't bother me at all. I know that would drive Paulie crazy. That would drive Hollywood Nick Ashew crazy. The only two Knicks fans I know that don't live in New York because everybody else hates the Knicks. How could you not? But when Aaron Nesmith just starts hitting dagger three after dagger three after dagger three, Tyrese Halliburton got all the attention and all the headlines for the game-tying, which he thought was a game-winning shot. The game-tying shot and the choke sign at the end mimicking Reggie Miller from 30 years ago. And I live that. I remember that like it was yesterday. And the lead was bigger last night, depending on what time we're talking, because it was 9 with about a minute or so to go. But when Aaron Nesmith just starts hitting 3 after 3 after 3, 8 of 9 to be exact, but like 5 in a row down the stretch when the Pacers were down by 14 with 2.5 minutes left to go, all I could think about, even before Tyrese Halliburton hit that game-tying shot, even before overtime, all I could think about was Reggie bleeping Miller and what I had said on the show yesterday. Because I was just teasing Paulie. Oh, what are you going to do when Reggie Miller comes out of the broadcast booth and starts knocking down dagger three after dagger three? You have Nesmith? Let's roll.
Nesmith hits the three. And also, if you would have told me with Brunson, another three by Nesmith, that's the great equalizer in our game.
Halliburton with 27 the other way with a screen from Shepherd. He'll roll and he'll find the defense of Hart. Nesmith three. Good! Got it!
And I'm surprised they don't have Miles Turner, the rim protector, on the floor as well.
Nesmith three. Good! Another one from outside.
I
Naismith again, three, got it! He's a flamethrower! It's a dead ball on the side. I don't know what the controversy there was. Naismith, it's a three. Whoa. It's a two-point game.
Oh my
it's
goodness.
A two-point game with 22 seconds to go.
All right, that's a really good job by AMAC because I didn't ask him to put that together. So excellent job by you, my friend. Thank you. That's awesome. So Naismith, one after another, after another, after another, after another. Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, and was somebody else on the broadcast last night? I can't remember.
I'll figure it out.
Okay.
When you find it.
I can't remember. It was Jeff Van Gundy. Not Jeff Van Gundy. Stan Van Gundy, right? Wasn't it Stan Van Gundy?
Yes.
Because he kept calling him coach, right? But I think it was
Marv
Stan. Not Marv Albert. Marv Albert used to be the voice of the NBA and the Knicks. It was Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, and I believe it was Stan Van Gundy. I could be wrong on that. He just kept calling him coach, but it sounded like Stan Van Gundy. Either way, you just heard the 5 3-pointers in that one stretch there. For Naismith, listen, anybody can hit a three-pointer when there's no pressure, when the game's not on the line, when you're down by 14 and you're just chucking shots, right? You're just hailing shots. But the Knicks were up after a Brunson three-pointer, 119-105 with 2:51 left, right? And you think, a 14-point lead, certainly not insurmountable, but very unlikely. With 2:51 left. It's not 5:51, it's not 4:51, it's not 3:51, it's not 7:51. It's a 14-point lead with 2:51 left. 119-105. And I thought to myself, click, I'm going over to hockey. And I said, wait a second, no, you're not. No, you're not. You know better. You know the history of this rivalry. You know the history of the New York Bricks, especially against the Indiana Pacers. Chris, don't do it. Don't click over. You're going to miss something. And I had the remote in my hands, AMAC. I was about to click over to the Stars and the Oilers. What I'd rather be watching. And I'm so appreciative of how brilliant I actually am. I'm so thankful that I'm the smartest person often in the room. Now, sometimes I'm the only person in the room, but I am so appreciative of myself for realizing the situation, for realizing that it was the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden against the Indiana Pacers, and Reggie Miller was in the building. I'm so freaking smart, I stun myself sometimes.
I'm glad you're humble.
Humble I am not. So I said to myself, no, self, you can't change the channel. This is the New York Bricks we're talking about. And all of a sudden, 119-105 turns into 119-108. You just... And that was on a Halliburton, almost 30-foot three-point shot, way deep. It was almost near half court. I was like, what is he doing? But again, you're down 14, but he hits it, right, to get them to 119-108. And then Brunson misses a three-point shot moments after he hit one, right? And that's herein lies the problem with the three-point shot when you're shooting from 28 feet away. You're not going to make more than maybe 30% of them? Maybe. Indiana gets the rebound. I want to say that's when the challenge, but I could be wrong on that. That was Obi Toppin. The former Nick, the Nick draftee, gets the rebound. And Naismith then hits another three-pointer. So now he's hit two in this sequence of the last 3 minutes and 15 seconds. And the Pacers have hit three. And now it's a 119-111 game with 2:04 left. Then, stupidly, as usual, NBA teams, again, dumber than dirt, just keep heaving threes because that's all we need to, that's all we know how to do. I mean, it's just the dumbest thing alive. Not dumber than the NFL and the Packers, but it's the dumbest thing in basketball. Where we just have to take three after 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 three and hope and pray instead of, I don't know, moving the damn basketball around, you know, passing the basketball, setting up a shot, cutting to the net, getting to the lane, getting to the free throw. Oh, wait a second. Why would we want to do that? So Towns, Karl Anthony Towns, who had himself a nice night, misses a long-range jump shot, a three-pointer, with a 1:41 left. And again, it's now 119-111. You got an eight-point lead, but they are chipping away. Siakam gets the rebound. Siakam goes to the free throw line. I think that was with the review. Then he makes one of two free throws, right, with 120 left. So it's a 119-112 game. The Knicks get the rebound. And Brunson scores on a driving layup, which I didn't think, honestly, he was going to make that shot. It was kind of like a scoop, like rainbow-type floater. I thought it was going to get swatted. But I thought surely at that point, with now a minute left to go, the shot clock draining, under 5 seconds, Brunson hits that floater. And it's 121-112, and it's back to 9 points now with under a minute left. And I thought, surely that does it, right? And then Naismith hits another three-pointer, which draws it to 121-115. But once again, my faith in humanity and sanity is restored. And remember what I was just telling you about Karl Anthony Towns taking a stupid three-pointer from 30 feet away. He goes to the basket and makes a layup. Gets an easier look. Off the Bridges bounce pass. And the Knicks are up by 8 with 42 seconds left. And you think, surely, 8-point lead, 42 seconds left. Yeah, I mean, it can happen, but it's not going to happen. And Naismith hits another three-pointer. Another three-pointer. To make it 123-118 with 34 seconds left. And then, oh, then, the Knicks decide, whoops, we're incapable of playing good, smart, fundamental basketball. We're going to turn the ball over. Brunson makes a bad pass. Siakam steals it. Actually, you know what? That's where the challenge happened. My bad. I thought it was a little bit earlier. And they go to the replay, and it takes forever. And this is with 30 seconds left, and the Knicks up 123-118. So they come back. After they award the Pacers the ball, and they win the challenge, and it took literally forever. So long. I didn't have a problem with the call. It took so long. And Naismith hits another three. And all of a sudden, it's 123-121. And the Knicks take another timeout. Again, in just an interminable ending to the game. It's just absolutely no flow. It's just never ending. Whistle after whistle, timeout after timeout, instant replay review after replay review, zero flow. And yet, somehow, it was thrilling. Somehow, it was thrilling because Indiana just kept making shots. Indiana just refused to miss. So Towns, who again took the needless three earlier in this sequence, misses a free throw when they get back in after an Obi Toppin foul. So one of two there. So it's only a three-point lead for the Knicks. Now with 14 seconds left, certainly, again, a lot can happen. Because you've already blown the port where nothing should happen. Right? And then Towns misses another free throw. another free throw. The bane of all existence, missed free throws in big spots. Karl Anthony Towns missed two. So instead of it being 120, I'm sorry. He missed one of two. No, he missed the one of two. I'm reading it wrong. My bad. The way they have this all laid out. My bad. He missed one of two. He made the first to make it 124-121. Then he missed the second one. My bad. I just want to clear that up. So that's 14 seconds left. Again, 3-point lead. Right? After all your substitutions, back and forth. Ananobi commits a foul because the Knicks have an extra foul to give. Nesmith makes a free throw, right? And then makes the second free throw. So it's 124-123 with 12 seconds left. And you just go down the line, right? Siakam takes a foul. Ananobi misses a free throw. So now the Knicks have missed two free throws in this very tight sequence. Ananobi makes a second free throw. And the Knicks are up by two with 7 seconds left. And then all hell breaks loose. Halliburton seemingly stopped heading towards the basket and heading to the elbow area, decides instead of fading away, instead of passing, instead of whatever, I'm going to take a run back to the three-point line, turn around, heave one, and I'm going to get a basket that I think is a game-winning three-pointer, but actually is a two-pointer that goes off the rim about 40 feet in the air and comes straight down into the cylinder and rains down, and all havoc again breaks loose. And everybody thinks in the moment the Pacers have won the game. But instead, the Pacers have only tied the game. And Halliburton's busy giving the choke sign. And off to overtime we go. We'll finish it up on the other side. Where the Knicks choked, where the Knicks went completely wrong, or just give credit, the Pacers didn't miss any shots. The Knicks did, the Pacers didn't. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take it. He'll backpedal, a three for the win. And goal! He got it!
Oh, A-Mac, you're part brilliant and part just such a Scrooge. You're such a meanie butt. How could you possibly play Old Blue Eyes, Frank Sinatra's New York, New York, a lovely song to celebrate the demise of the New York Knicks last night? How could you do such a thing?
Oh, sorry.
You are mean, sir.
I didn't realize.
I mean, you better watch out before I release all the jackals on you that I have to deal with on Twitter and X. All the guys with surgically attached pom-poms to their butt cheeks.
I feel like that's why I do these things, is because, like, it's your show still. So it's like, I feel like you're going to take most of the brood and the punishment of it.
Thanks
and
a lot.
I'm just going to be like,
thanks a lot.
Yeah, that AMAC guy, am I right?
Who is he? Anyway, the Knicks would go on to lose in overtime. We'll get to it all, but I wanted to make sure that we started off the show with only one place, in only one place, with one voice in the leadoff spot. You're never going to guess who it is. No. It's Mr. John Starks himself, Mr. Patrick Ewing, Mr. I'm going to make bold proclamations, and then I'm going to see my team melt into a puddle of goo. Isn't that right?
F you, Ruffles. Knicks in six, baby. I'm trying to hear that, man. I ain't trying to hear that, bro. But listen, man. I don't never run and hide, though. You know that about me. I ain't never going to run and hide. But look, it's crazy, though, Russell. Because when Lee Smith was hitting on them threes, I was like, that Chris Russell, man. Wait till I talk to him.
Paulie, you have no idea how close I was to turning off that game, and then I remembered, oh, yeah, that's right. It's the Bricks. It's the Garden. It's Reggie Miller. It's the Pacers, and it's what I said to you yesterday.
You don't know how close I was hitting send to your telephone number last night and all the expletives that came along with it.
I was shocked that I did not hear from you. I figured you were cowering in the bowels of some.
I needed the 12 out, but I'm gonna tell you what you. I'm gonna tell you, you missed the key sequence. All right, first of all, it was a choke job. You got to hit your free throws.
Yes,
you hit your free throws. Game is over.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, because Towns would have put it up five.
Yeah.
Instead, it was up four.
Right. They OG didn't. To your point, they didn't totally. Yeah. To your point, they didn't totally choke because I know I'm gonna give you. But I mean, Towns and Brunson made little floating like layups late in the game inside the final minute. It's not like they totally went stone cold. It's they could not stop Indiana. And hit their free throws.
They didn't wilt away. But when you miss those free throws late in the game like that, you choked at the line of you choked at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Point blank, simple. You got to hit those free throws. But I'm gonna tell you another key sequence was, I don't know, OG Anunoby, he might have wilted away because he had three buffoonery plays. All right, the first one was off that bounce pass. Man, you got to secure the catch. I mean, it was a chest high. If the ball bounced up to his chest, but you got to secure the catch first before you try to shoot the ball. That's number one. Number two, right after that play, they missed the goaltend. He clearly blocked the ball off the backboard. It was a goaltend. And that would have put them back up eight under 15 seconds, whatever it was. So that was a key missed call by the referees on a goaltending. And then they tried to say they was going to look at it, but then they come back and say, well, we can't look at it because the Pacers took immediate possession, and then they called a foul on the Knicks after that. That was the Nesmith play. So that whole little sequence was what happens when the Knicks lose badly. And I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm used to this. And we don't do nothing easy. It has to be hard. If it ain't hard, we don't want it. Pause. You know what I mean? So, hey, we're good. We'll be back. Knicks is six, baby. It's six more games to go. Hey, but I tell you what, that was a hell of a game last night.
I was expecting you to be breathing fire. I was expecting you to be breathing fire.
You can't do nothing when a man hit five straight three-pointers and a team hit seven straight three-pointers.
I know.
It wasn't like, you know, and out of the seven, two of them was open. Everybody else had a hand in their face.
Paulie, let me ask you something serious. Which of those seven three-pointers was your favorite? I'm just teasing.
I mean, it had to be the one. Listen, man, I get credit. I get credit where credit is due. That one when Neesmith came off the screen and took the dribble, when Hart kind of slipped and came back, and then he just pulled up on the balls. I was like, bye. He was like, bye. I was like, here we go. I said to myself then, all they got to do is keep their composure and hit the free throws. They hit the free throws, the game is over. Them two free throws was big, and that missed goaltending call was big. But, hey, it is what it is, man. NBA, man, it's fantastic. Like I said, I'm a Knicks fan. This is how I've been through this before. Corey Sanchez, you could show me all you want to today. I've been through this before. This is what we do. It can't be easy for us, man. We got to go around our neck and over our back to get a W. That's how the Knicks roll, baby. But we, like I said, Knicks is six. Russell, F you. I'm putting you in the porta potty, man. Get him out of here. You a jinx. Don't forget you, man. Yeah, but I'm glad I didn't hit send to you last night. We probably would be friends today.
Well, we're not friends. Don't confuse it. See you tomorrow. Let's go, Pacers.
You, Chris Russell.
See ya. Oh, man. Could you imagine what WFAN in New York is today? And that was the goaltending call. I don't remember what exactly that was. There was a million things that happened in that game. But that was a missed call. I didn't have a problem with the Siakam overturn, which took 7 minutes to decide. I didn't have a problem with that. But they did miss a goaltending. Now the Knicks have to get off the mat. And they probably will. It's not like they're not as good of a team as Indiana. Indiana proves one thing, though. I know Tyrese Halliburton is a star, but he's not a superstar in my eyes. He's not a generational superstar. Indiana continues to prove one thing. Year after year. This is the third year in a row conference finals. I know they haven't won a championship. You can win without bottoming out. You can win by building a roster. Kind of like how the Wizards are doing it, except all the people in the media that are telling them they're wrong and that they should win four games in a year so that they had the most and best chance at the lottery, which is the same as everyone else. Yeah, that. Okay. Time for a trending alert, and then more of your phone calls on the other side. 301-230-0980. No, we're not going to do the whole show on the Knicks. Gagging all over themselves last night. No, we're not going to do that. I do want to get into the Halliburton choke sign and how he handled that afterwards. And get your feedback on that. Just for those of you that are not into the minutiae of the game. I'm sure everybody's seen it by now. If you didn't see it live, probably seen it on social media. I do want to get into that. I want to get AMAC's thoughts on that. And I want to get yours. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so we open up with the Knicks collapse down the stretch against the Indiana Pacers. Tonight, it's game two of the Western Finals, Oklahoma City. They pulled away big time, outscoring Minnesota by 30 in the second half the other night. They lead the series 1-0. Game two tonight, 8:30. Meanwhile, game two for the NHL's Eastern Finals as the defending Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, 8 o'clock at Raleigh against the Carolina Hurricanes, who took one on the chin the other night. No wins, 1-0 Florida in the series. Meanwhile, the NFL, a tough day yesterday with the initial vote of the tush push, but then it really got sad as we got off the air, and in the 4 o'clock hour or so, We found out that Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay had passed away at the age of 65 in his sleep. Of course, the tributes have poured in, the team announcing again that he has passed away at the age of 65. Certainly shocking. His three daughters are part of the ownership group in Indianapolis. That is expected to be the succession, but we don't know exactly at this point how the Indianapolis Colts are going to deal with this. Peyton Manning, Pat McAfee, Tony Dungy, all among those paying tribute to Jim Irsay, who played an instrumental role before his death in helping the NFL get rid of Dan Snyder here in Washington. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I've seen that Winning Time doc probably like 50 times growing up. So I know that they didn't win the series. So I would not like to repeat that. But I think that's just a historic moment. And that was obviously more him versus Spike, kind of the one-on-one. And that just felt like it was to everybody. But to him, too. I wanted him to see it more than anything. But I think it's just really cool to continue to, you know, make my own history and this group to make our own history while also showing, you know, respect and love to the ones that came before us. So definitely a special moment. And something I won't forget.
All right, that is Tyrese Halliburton after last night's win and come from behind victory at MSG. And the choke sign and what he was trying to do. Now, listen, I from what I could tell about Tyrese Halliburton, and it's just an outside view, he does not seem to be a punk or a bad guy in any way, shape, or form, right? Seems to be pretty cool. Obviously, a very talented player. His dad is a little rambunctious. Got to keep him under wraps. But... and maybe it's because he's been involved in a little WWE that I like Tyrese Halliburton. I don't know. But he seems to be a pretty decent guy. He doesn't seem to be like a jerk. So I had no problem at all with him doing the choke sign. as he mentioned just there, right, it's a little bit of a tribute to Reggie Miller, who did after I'm trying to remember that, you know, I remember the sequence that I think the Knicks were up by 9 with like 30 seconds left or whatever it was, and Reggie just went bombs away 30 years ago, which hard to believe that it's 30 years, but it is. My guy Ben Raby, I think, put up a side-by-side shot 30 years ago. But I did not have a problem at all in any way, shape, or form with Tyrese Halliburton doing the chokes on. At all. Now, does it look kind of stupid because his foot was on the line? Yes. Because he didn't win the game? Yes. Because he only tied the game? Yes. If the Pacers would have lost in overtime, I'm sure it would have looked worse for Tyrese Halliburton, but they won, so it's not that big of a deal. But I'm asking you to look beyond that and say, in the moment, win or tie, because that's the scenario that we're dealing with. We don't know what's going to happen in overtime. Did you have a problem with Tyrese Halliburton doing the choke sign towards Reggie Miller? One, but at Madison Square Garden, towards the Knicks franchise, the players, the fans, the national television coverage, knowing exactly what that's going to blow up. Again, I did not. AMAC, did you?
No, I thought it was cold. Like, I like seeing things like that. I don't, not necessarily, I feel like it didn't cross that line into showboating.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't do it specifically to a player. He wasn't, like, calling anyone out or showing up anyone. I like seeing people, you know, step into that moment, rise to the occasion, and then celebrate, show that passion, show that excitement, and knowing that he had that particular celebration in the tuck, it almost seemed, like, fortuitous. Like, that was meant to happen. So I had no problem with it. I thought it made the moment so much greater. Like, there's no way we're going to forget that moment now because it's tied to him doing that and reliving Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
Like, so I think it gives like a exclamation point to that moment. And I thought it was just like a cold celebration.
Yeah. I think everything that like to me in baseball, when a guy flips his bat after he knows he's hit one and it's a big moment, game tying, game winning home run, ninth inning, extra innings, what have you, I don't mind that at all. Like, that's, you play the sport with passion, right? I hate the choreographed, silly, stupid touchdown celebrations that the NFL has. Hate it. Never have minded a spike or, you know, a fun bunch type thing or anything like that. The choo-choo trains and the cabooses and all, row your boats and all that. Not for me, okay? Not for me. When you make a catch and it's for a first down and you get up and a defender is prone on the ground and you step on him or step over him and you tell him how bad you are and how good you are and No. That's taunting. That's ridiculous. That's being a showboat. That's not being a professional. Tyrese Halliburton, in the moment, thought he hit the game-winning three-pointer to complete a 14-point comeback. I have no problem with what he did. Again, it would have looked really bad if Indiana had lost in overtime. But he doesn't know that at that moment. He thinks he's not, never mind overtime, win-lose. He thinks he's end of the game, right? He doesn't know that his toe is on the line. I had no problem with Tyrese Halliburton last night. Did you? Let's get to our guy, Double A, and see how he figures into this mix. Double A, did you have a problem with Tyrese Halliburton doing the old choke-a-rooney sign?
Oh, no, because it's the truth, and they did choke. And I told AMAC that I felt like I was 15 years old again getting in a time machine last night watching that, because just like Paulie was talking about free throws earlier, 30 years ago it was Miller three, and then they fouled Starks, and he missed back-to-back free throws, and then they came back and won it. I mean, like the Knicks said, they just stopped. They even admitted it. They took the foot off the Tigers' neck. And, I mean, you could talk about the goaltend missed in overtime and you, the guy hit five threes, but their defense was piss poor, you know, that last few minutes.
Yep.
Like you could see when Brunson got the ball, they were doubling him. The Knicks offensive players had the defenders draped all over them. I mean, they made some shots down the stretch, but they were tough shots. And Indiana, like, we weren't on them the way we should have been. We weren't contesting the inbounds. We almost turned it over the Knicks three times on the inbound. Just because of the pressure that Indiana had. So you can just tell Rick Carlisle is a hell of a coach.
Wait, did I hear a we? Did I hear a we in that? Are you a Pacers guy that I didn't know of?
No. We the Knicks.
Oh, maybe. We. Okay. Gotcha.
Because I'm all going back to the early 90s, a Knicks fan, when
right.
I started watching basketball
right.
and everything.
I got you.
I mean, I was texting with Richie this morning, and we just both like, yep, it's just like it's the 30-year anniversary this year of that. It was 95 when it happened.
Yeah.
So, okay, I mean, listen, they can rebound from this. I hope they have as bad a taste in their mouth as we do. Linus posted something last night, 997 games, 997-0, and you're up by 14 with three to go.
Yeah, I'll give you some numbers in a second. But real quickly, to your point, like the Knicks had a four-point lead to start overtime, right? Brunson has the two consecutive turns. I mean, like there are so many things that happened in that game that can't happen, should happen, whatever. Like, how about this also? Excuse me. I think it was Halliburton, right? On the inbounds, as the game ended, he literally, like, turned the ball over on purpose just to end the game, right? It's just, but he only had two turnovers in the entire game, which means he only had one effectively for the, you know, the first, 52 minutes and 45 seconds or whatever it is. That's how you win these games. You know, you don't miss your free throws. You don't turn the ball over like the Knicks did down the stretch and in overtime. You don't fall asleep on defense. And the Pacers weren't good on defense. They really weren't. But when they had to be, when they had to tighten up late in regulation, they were. When they had to tighten up in overtime, they were. Siakam who else was a menace? Obi Toppin was good defensively. I forget the other guy that was really good defensively for them, but I'll find it. But the point being is when they had to be good defensively, they were. When the Knicks had to be good defensively, they sucked.
Yep. And again, to their own admission, they said, we stopped. And that's goes from coach to players, and like I just hope that they get that taste out of their mouth, because to Paulie's point, there's 6 more games to play, and they can overcome this, and they played really well at spots last night, but I just, again, you almost like know what's going to happen, and then when Halliburton hits that shot, even though it's a two, you're like, is this really going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
But they allowed it. That's the point of my call. They allowed it, and everything that, to your point that you just said about when Indiana had to do it, Indiana was suffocating them when they had to do it.
Yep.
And they had to play defense.
And they knew the ball was going through Brunson, and they were just attacking him and wearing him down. And as good as he is, and he's really, really, really good, when your offense basically filters through one guy, like that was another thing. The Pacers' offense didn't totally filter through one guy in this stretch that we're talking about, up 14 or down 14, I should say. Now, I mean, it kind of did with Nembhard, but I mean, Halliburton obviously, again, hit a three-pointer with just over 3 minutes left and then hit that game ultimately tying shot and then was fine in overtime, and they were cutting to the basket and they were doing everything right. They were doing everything as a team, and the Knicks were obviously not. Double A, I appreciate you as always, brother.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, we'll take a timeout here, 9 minutes until the top of the hour on the Team 980. On the radio, stay with us. It is the Rooster, Cock and Doodle Doo with you on a Thursday afternoon.
In the moment, I mean, I wasn't like plotting on it or anything. I just, everybody wanted me to do it like last year at some different point. But it's just gotta feel right. And it felt right at the time. If it would have been, if I would have known it was a two, I would not have done it. So I think I might have wasted it. If I do it again, then I might be, people might say I'm like aura farming. So I'm not, I don't plan on using it again.
Yeah, Tyrese Halliburton is not a dummy. He understands. It kind of looked bad, right? Ultimately, because it was a game tying two. Still a huge shot. Still an absolute dagger. And how that ball went in, I no idea. Because it bounces off the rim, goes 40 feet in the air, comes right down. I mean, that never happens. You know? And I thought in the moment, wow, what is he doing? Going from the elbow all the way out to the three-point line? What are you doing, man? And yet it worked. By the way, here's that number that I think AA was talking about. This is via Josh Dubow of the Associated Press. 994-0. That was the record before the Knicks loss last night of a team up by at least 14 going into the final 2 minutes and 45 seconds of a playoff game since 1997. So up by at least 14 going into the last 2:45 of a game, of a playoff game, since 1997. So almost 30 years. 994-1. That's pretty incredible. And let me give you another one. I don't know who this was from, but it circulated, and I got it off of @AutomaticNBA, whatever that means. The Pacers playoff record, or I should say, in the NBA, playoff record when trailing by 7 to 9 points with a minute and a half or less left in the game. Again, the Pacers were down by 9 with a minute left to go in the game. The Pacers this year in the playoffs are 3-0. Every other team in the last 25 years, 1-698. Think about how, and there are people out there that are wondering why a Washington, D.C. host is talking about the Knicks and basketball. It's the number one story that people care about. Those people don't know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I don't even love the NBA like you all do. I resent the hell out of the NBA. And yet, it's just shocking what happened last night. Shocking. And those numbers just proved it to you. Can't prove it to you any other way. Almost 2 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. If you want to chime in on that, go right ahead. We're going to get into net rest and the Commander's schedule coming up next. I've got some thoughts that I haven't heard anybody talk about when it comes to net rest. And I just want to make sure that we cover that before too long on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.